January 8th, 2011.
My DS prediction has almost as much to do with the iOS platform as it does to do with the DS platform. Hmm. I think iOS is going to provide a lot more tough competition than Nintendo really expects. I mean, they've already said it a little bit, but I think they're going to overprice the 3DS at launch and have to drop the price within 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a hard sell if they – I think they're going to price it at $250. I think that's going to be a hard sell. And they're going to have to drop it before Christmas. And I think it's going to start picking up steam around Christmas. It'll be a fun Christmas gift to get for people, for their kids. Hello and welcome to NWR Newscast Special Emergency Edition. Now, you guys probably might not realize this, but we record our regular episodes of Newscast on Tuesdays, and then they go out on Saturdays, which is, I know, probably not the most timely way to put out a new show to build in a 5-day delay. But normally it's not that big of a deal because honestly, it's the internet. You're already getting your news from the internet. We're just talking about it. You're not learning new things from us generally. It's not usually a problem except for in cases like this when we get some sort of a major news announcement between Tuesday and Saturday that if we don't talk about on the show, it makes us look kind of silly. So we decided to go ahead and throw up an episode of the Newscast. This is going to be a real short, just a half an hour, maybe if that episode, where we talk about this whole crazy price drop issue and put it out before Saturday so that you can listen to the show on Saturday already knowing what we newscasters think about this potentially major news. And then on Saturday you can just, you know, pretend that we don't care about it anymore for a couple days. Unfortunately, Neil and Zach could not be here because we're recording at an unusual time and they had other things going on. Of course, Zach lives so far away from any of us that it's kind of hard to fit him into anything other than our usual recording schedule. But instead, we've got Scott with us. Scott luckily lives in my time zone, which makes this easy for me. And of course, we've got Mr. Danny Bivens from Japan, which is crazy because it's nowhere near my time zone. But he decided to wake up crazy early in the morning and join us so we'd have a few more voices on the show. So thanks, guys, for joining me. I don't even know where to begin with this, but let's just lay it out there. I know we just listened to that sound clip. That episode aired in December early. That was episode number 35 of the Newscast where Zach, Nathan, and myself gave our 2011 predictions where I actually – and I'll take credit for this right now. I actually called a within-six-month price drop from $250 for the 3DS. Honestly, if you had asked me a week later, I might have changed my mind on that, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't because I was actually dead right. And I didn't really want to be right. I mean, I bought the system at launch, so clearly I felt like it was a good investment at launch, even though I agree it was priced high. I knew that. I decided to buy it anyway. I don't really regret it. What do you guys think $250 was too high of a price?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was willing to pay it at the time, but I knew it had to come down, and I knew it really had to come down before a lot of people started showing interest in the system. I think we talked about it two episodes ago when we were talking, reading listener mail about, you know, if the 3DS would ever reach the DS's success. And, you know, I felt that for people to really latch onto it, I thought it would take some time, a price drop, and then a system redesign, just like it was with the DS Lite. You know, I never saw any friends with the fat DS. It's when the DS Lite came out that I feel like everyone started picking it up. So, yeah, I knew it had to happen eventually. I really didn't expect it so soon. Maybe closer to Christmas, but not just, you know, so soon after the launch.
Just over 4 months, I believe the 3DS came out on, I think, like the 25th of March, if I'm not mistaken. And it's now the 28th of July, so we're looking at just a few days over a four-month launch window. And I don't really have any sales statistics for what other handhelds or systems have done, but they did say that around 830,000 people, I think, have bought the 3DS so far. I'm not sure if that's worldwide. I think maybe it is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, and actually, Rich from IGN, who runs the Nintendo channel over at IGN, he tweeted out some sales data, and he said the PSP outsold the 3DS 2.5 to 1, which was 1.8 million to 0.7 million globally. Yeah, so okay. that's per Sony and Nintendo. Like
that the first launch, the first 4 months of each system, or
yeah, I'm sorry, currently? Yeah, that's April to June.
Okay. That's crazy.
That's bad.
So, I mean, clearly the price drop was warranted in some respect. I guess one question that's worth asking is, what does this mean for the long term? So, you know, of course there's two obvious comparisons I can make with this price drop, and both are on vast other ends of the spectrum in terms of product success. And one of them is the Virtual Boy, which I'm sure you guys remember if you were old enough. The Virtual Boy went from, you know, I don't remember what it launched at, but it was in a bargain bin for $10 within maybe 9 to 12 months after release. I mean, it was nowhere. It fell off so quickly the price of it fell so quickly that it just makes you remember that and say, wow, this is a, you know, 30% of the cost is a really drastic cut. I mean, is this the beginning of the end of a Nintendo handheld so quickly? Like, it's happened before. But things have changed so drastically since the mid-90s when the Virtual Boy came out, and the 3DS doesn't have nearly the many inherent flaws that the Virtual Boy had.
Right, right. And I think that's the point there, too. I mean, it's not really like the Virtual Boy. The Virtual Boy was kind of bastardized from the beginning. I mean, you know, I remember just, you know, doing some research about it, and I guess, you know, initially, you know, they wanted to do it in color. They wanted to kind of do it right, but it was just going to cost way too much money, so they, you know, just went for a cheaper route with the god-awful red, and that could potentially blind you. You know, I mean, God, there's a lot of just weird things about the Virtual Boy that just are kind of unsettling, I guess, for a Nintendo system, but, I don't think the 3DS is anything like that. It's just, you know, it just came out kind of expensive. It is kind of just fighting an uphill battle, you know. And
also, seriously, doubt the 3D, yeah. The Virtual Boy ever sold 800,000 units.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Of course, the other yeah. comparison you can make is the Apple iPhone, which came out at $600, and I think maybe a month, maybe 2 months later, I forget the exact timeline, they dropped it $200 down to $400. And now you look at the iPhone, and the iPhone is quite possibly the defining gadget of the decade. It's changed everything about the cell phone industry, about the mobile gaming industry, really. I mean, like I said in my sound clip earlier, I don't think that the 3DS is having problems because of the PSP or because of necessarily even – you know, anything Nintendo necessarily did wrong. The market changed on them. It's not the same market it was before. And I'm not sure the 3DS was really built for the old market either, but it certainly isn't helping matters that a new market exists now where people are used to paying $1 to $5 for their games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, I mean, the system's more expensive, and more importantly, the games are more expensive. I'd like to see the games go back down to $30, if not even a little lower than that.
There needs to be some sort of variance in the pricing is really the big deal. Like, I don't mind paying $40 for the Ocarina of Time, but $40 for a Pac-Man and Galaga collection?
Right.
That's really pushing it, even if it is a good collection. Like, I talked about it on the show that's going to go out in a couple days, and I really like the game, but I can't recommend anybody buy that to play high score catch up with me. Because who am I going to tell to go spend $40 on Pac-Man? Like, really? Don't do that. Yeah. Go buy it on Xbox Live for 4 or 8 or however much it costs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And even here in Japan, I mean, the prices for games are just so much more than even what they are. Like in the United States, I don't know about Europe, but or Australia, but I don't know. It's sometimes like, man, can I really justify spending, you know, 5,000 yen? You know, about 6,000 yen for a 3DS game that I don't even know if I'm gonna like.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? The Nintendo published games are actually pretty consistently relatively low end compared to like some of the other like third party stuff. But I mean, sometimes you just look at it and you're like, wow, why would I buy this? If I can get it on another system, you know, it's a little bit better or whatever.
So I guess when you're looking at the long term, the tail of the 3DS, with this price cut in mind. Of course, the price cut theoretically should spur sales, making the install base go up. And if the install base goes up, maybe Mega Man Legends 3 doesn't get canceled. Maybe maybe we see more original titles for the system instead of Dead Silence, which is what it kind of seems like right now. Maybe this is a really good thing for the long term, so we're going to get more people, the system in more hands. That's going to help our street pass ratio here in the States, where we can hardly come across them. Yep. If there's more systems, there's more people to street pass with. But it's a little concerning that they have to slash the price so drastically so quickly.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing you have to worry about is, are people going to see that and just assume the system's already dead in the water? You know, I would imagine the average core gamer isn't going to think that, but what about, you know, someone who's casually purchasing the handheld, you know, how does that affect their confidence in the system?
It's often hard for us to remember, as people who, you know, write for a video game website, that the largest chunk, by a large margin, of the audience for these handhelds don't read gaming websites. They don't realize, you know, the things that we realize about the way the market is and the brand strength of the DS. And, you know, I hesitate to write anything with the DS branding on it a failure within 4 months. It's going to be really interesting to see how this stacks up against the new PlayStation Vita this Christmas. I really thought we'd get a price drop closer to Christmas rather than in the middle of the summer. They've got to be very concerned if they're doing this in July, because July is not exactly the kind of month you do this kind of thing. And you don't drop prices in July. You drop prices when you think sales are going to happen anyway, and you want to give it that extra kick.
Right. But the Vita, is it, that's launching at 200, right?
250, I believe.
Oh, is it 250? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What impact, I mean, not to talk too much about Sony, but I wonder what impact that'll have on Sony and their confidence in their pricing structure. I mean, whether or not it has more features and, you know, better graphics. I mean, does that, like you said, Drew, like Andy, like, does that really matter at this point?
Well, they're clearly selling it at a loss, and they targeted it at the 3DS price point, and that seems pretty obvious to me. They're not going to lower it. They're going to keep it at 250 and hope that it's close enough in comparison with the 3DS, especially with the potential reputation of the 3DS in question, that they'll sell through. I think they'll sell plenty of PlayStation Vitas at that cost, at that price. I also think that the 3DS will do fine. I think the 3DS may not have the long life the DS had. It may not have the high peaks of popularity and sales, but it's not going anywhere. They're not going to can it and try again. That's crazy talk. So I mean, I'm not too concerned about my 3DS not being supported in 2 years. I am concerned about my L button isn't working. I'm concerned about the specific design of the launch hardware. But that's neither here nor there. So I guess the other big part of this is, you know, we spent $250 at launch, and now it's being dropped so quickly that Nintendo has decided to preempt any negative backlash from those of us who paid the high price by giving us all kinds of awesome little free goodies. They're giving us 20 free games, which is mind-boggling. That's depending on how you calculate it. If you calculate the Game Boy Advance games that we're getting at $8, like the Super NES games and the Virtual Console, and if you calculate the NES games at the same $5 they're being sold on the Wii Shop right now, that's $130 worth of free content that they're giving us. I if I'm not mistaken, all at once. They're giving us all those games on September 1st, I believe.
I think all the NES games are September 1st. I think the GBA games are supposed to be later down the road.
That's right. The GBA games are supposed to be around the end of the year.
Okay. I didn't realize that. That's unfortunate. I was looking forward to replaying some Metroid Fusion. Let's go over the games that they're going to be giving us on September 1st, the NES games. We've got confirmed reports of Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong Jr., Balloon Fight, which I've still never played, Ice Climber, and the original Legend of Zelda. It dawns on me, and probably many others, that these are awfully similar to the games that were re-released on Game Boy Advance in 2004 during their NES Classic with the really awesome redesigned GBA SP that I stupidly sold like 4 years ago. I really should have kept that. it kind of seems to me like they're developing a GBA emulator and they're porting the GBA ports. They're putting the GBA ports of these NES games in that emulator, meaning that these are going to be emulated games that were already emulated, which is interesting. I mean, because if not that, then they're putting an NES emulator on 3DS, and if they're doing that, now we're starting to talk about, okay, well, I've already bought these games in the Wii Shop. If you're going to have an NES virtual console on the 3DS, why can't I just port my games over from the Wii? They're making me buy them again. Now, that's not really an issue here because we're getting them for free. But it does kind of make you go, oh, well, okay, I don't have to rebuy these games again, but that's cool because I already bought them. And in fact, I bought all these other NES games too. Why can't I put them on my 3DS?
Right. Interestingly, too, coming from this, is talk about what they're adding to these NES games when they do launch commercially for everyone who has a 3DS, you know, like being able to play like wireless multiplayer and things like that. It's kind of interesting. I suppose that might justify buying it twice.
Is that online Wi-Fi or local wireless?
Local. I'm sorry. Did I say online?
You didn't specify. I was wondering because I hadn't heard.
I'm sure it would be local.
I'd have to believe it would be phenomenal if we could play them online, but I certainly don't expect that. That'd be probably even too much to ask.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, 20 free games. I mean, those are not games that I'm super excited about. Of course, having Mario is always nice. I'll pick up and play a couple levels of Mario a couple times a year just because it's a habit that I enjoy. Zelda, I play through the original Zelda probably once every couple of years. I have the damn thing memorized front to back. I've been looking for a reason to go back and try the second quest again. Maybe this will be it. So that's kind of exciting. Any other NES games you guys would love to see on the list?
I'd love to see Ninja Turtles 2, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love that.
Yeah, me too.
That would be crazy.
I'd kind of like to see the original Metroid. I know it's not a game that has a ton of fans these days, but I still really like the original Metroid. I play through it a couple times a year, or a couple years. Every other couple years, I play that game.
And they had that actually on the GBA, like for the NES remake or NES re-releases, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It was one of the games they put out.
Okay, maybe that's more of a possibility.
And it was also emulated, I think, in Metroid Fusion, wasn't it? I think it was a bonus for Metroid Fusion.
I thought it was a bonus.
If you hooked it up with Metroid Prime,
yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super interested in the NES games. I mean, whatever's out there, especially the free stuff, I'm happy to download it. It'll be kind of fun to throw on for a couple minutes. You know, same way pulling on my iPhone and playing a game for a couple minutes while I'm just, like, sitting around or waiting to go do something. Like, I'll play Mario for a little bit, you know, or I'll play Donkey Kong Jr. But I think the GBA stuff is what I'm most excited for.
So yeah, the GBA stuff. Let's go through that then. So we don't know when these are going to hit later this year, apparently, and supposedly these games are going to remain exclusive to the Ambassador program that they're dubbing this free content to. I don't know that I believe that long term, but I'm kind of curious to see how long they hold up that guy. Of course, the wording they used for this was they have no plans.
Right.
We've heard that a few times, and it still remains to be seen how no plans really translates into future plans. But the games they have listed so far are Yoshi's Island, Super Mario Advance 3, which is fantastic. I've still never really played that game. I played it a little bit, but I never really tried to play through it, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, you never played through it on GBA, or you've never played through Yoshi's Island in general?
In general.
Oh, man.
I had the NES cartridge for a little bit, and I played maybe the first world or two, but I never got much farther than that.
Oh, God, that game's incredible.
I remember thinking it had a few too many collectibles for my taste, and I got frustrated trying to go back and get all of them, and I got sidetracked and never kept pushing forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't even worry about the collectibles. I would just get through the levels and just enjoy the game. I mean, you could always go back, but all it does is unlock harder levels. So, yeah. You know, it's nothing I would worry about until you beat the game, like if you really want to go back and do it.
Yeah, gotcha. Lucky for me, actually, I got the game on the Game Boy Advance, actually, too. And actually, I made it to, like, the very last world, but I haven't beat it yet. And now it's back in America, and I'm here in Japan. So I'm kind of glad it's coming out, like, you know, on the... coming out for us.
Interestingly, this game has never been released on the Wii Virtual Console.
Supposedly due to the fact that it uses the Super FX chip, in the Super Nintendo cartridge, and they had a horrible time emulating that. Although apparently they could do it on the GBA, so I don't know.
Yeah, apparently, and you know, homebrew emulators have been doing stuff like this for the past decade. It's kind of baffling as to why, how Nintendo can't get it to work. You know,
right? Because they don't have any of those Super FX games on Wii, on the Virtual Console.
Yeah. Next up, Mario Kart Super Circuit, a game that once again I've never really played. It kind of fell between the cracks between like Double Dash and Mario Kart 64 and Mario Kart DS. Like I never really felt the need to own a Mario Kart game on GBA. Plus, it's Mode 7, kind of like the original one, and that style of Mario Kart game never really appealed to me. I'm not even a big fan of the original one.
Really. Right. It is a total throwback. You even collect the coins and stuff too on the ground like the original one.
But it'll be kind of fun to play through because I've never really... I mean, it's free, so what the hell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. It's still fun.
Metroid Fusion, a big, big one right there. I had played this about 2 years ago for the first time since 01 when it came out, and it just it's such a fun game to play. I think I'd probably prefer Zero Mission, but the fact that Fusion is coming to my 3DS means that there's a pretty good chance that in the future I'll be able to play Zero Mission as well, even if I had to pay for it. So... That's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm same there. I played Metroid Fusion, and I like it, but I never got to Zero Mission, so I would love it if that showed up.
Likewise. Yeah. Likewise.
WarioWare, Mega Micro Games. I've never played the original Micro Games. I've played, you know, some of the other versions of the WarioWare series, but never really played the original, so I'm kind of curious to see. You know, I always thought of the game as being a primarily multiplayer experience, so I'm kind of curious to see how it translates to the handheld.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it started out just entirely single player, and I can't remember specifics, but I did have this, and I do remember, I mean, loving it as much as I've loved any WarioWare game. I think it is probably the best one in terms of at least a single player experience.
Yeah. And then last up, we have Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which is, of course, the sequel to our recent Virtual Console release of Donkey Kong 94. And a game that has, you know, Mario vs. Donkey Kong has had sequels since, but they've largely been the minis. I don't think we've had a sequel, like a proper sequel to Mario vs. Donkey Kong, have we?
I don't think we have either. I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's been the minis.
So I've never really played this game either, and I'm looking forward to trying it out. I mean, once again, these are all free, and that's awesome. Like, these are games I may or may not have spent $5 to $8 on, but I don't even have to worry about it because I will get them, and that's great. Now, there's other GBA games out there I'd love to play. Of course, the Castlevania games. I love all of them. Harmony of Dissonance. That one of them? That's the middle one, right?
I think so.
Or no. That's the Xbox Live one. I can't remember.
Oh, is it? The names are also, like,
Aria of Sorrow is the third one that I really liked. Circle of the Moon is the first one that I really liked. I don't remember what the second one was called. I think maybe it was Harmony of Dissonance. But I really liked all those games. I could play them over and over again. And I haven't touched, like, Circle of the Moon since I got my GBA in 2001, so I'd be excited to try that again.
Yeah, I would.
I'd take some original Advance Wars.
Oh, sure. That'd be a great one. Advance Wars or Advance Wars, what's the other one that came out after that? Advance Wars 2, I guess?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the DS is when they had the spin-offs, kind of. But
well, they had one on the DS, Dual Strike, is I think the name of that one. And then, they had the, like, super, like, dark, like...
Days of Ruin.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. There's so many great games on the.
I wouldn't mind playing some Golden Sun again. Oh, yeah. Since they're going to release that, you know, release a sequel to that now. I'd like to go back and visit those.
Absolutely. What else? I really should have had more ideas before I started the podcast.
the first couple, knowing Capcom, they'll just pretend it doesn't exist, but the first couple Mega Man Battle Network games.
Sure. How about Minish Cap?
Oh, man, that would be great, actually.
I kind of feel like they wouldn't give away Minish Cap because they could sell so many copies of it. Mm-hmm. But then I would say the same thing about Metroid Fusion, so who knows? Maybe they won't. But that'd be a good one to put on there. I'd certainly play that again if I got it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played through that whole thing. I played just a few hours of it.
One thing I'd kind of like is if they just gave us like a selection of like 15 to 20 games, we could pick whatever 10 we liked.
Yeah, well,
that'd be excellent.
One thing to note, too, I mean, this is only, what, 5 games? You know, on each of the things, so it's like, I wonder what else is going to be available. Maybe we will be able to choose. That'd be great if we can.
I was going to say, I don't think they've explicitly said that you can't. So maybe that will end up being possible.
That'd be awesome. One last thing to talk about before we wrap this up. It's a little short, little news break on the 3DS price drop. I can't really get over how aggressive this is a move for Nintendo. I'm not used to seeing them make such bold moves in their marketing. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised to see a price drop, but to see the ambassador program along with it, and especially the wording and the press releases. Now, this was pointed out in an email amongst the staff, but the wording on the price on the price drop and the ambassador program was significantly different between America and everywhere that's not America.
Yep.
Like, everywhere that wasn't America was very – it was a very apologetic email. It was like, look, we thank you for being a customer. We're happy to announce that the price is dropping. And, you know, we want to thank you for being a loyal customer. We understand that, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, animosity when a price drops. And we're happy to provide this as a token of our appreciation. Whereas the NOA announcement was more along the lines of, we're dropping the price. Oh, and here's some free games we bought right away. Thanks for being our customer. It was not apologetic at all. It was just sort of like, it just had that real kind of Reggie-ish cockiness to it, I guess. It's interesting because, you know, they could really stand to and engender themselves to the fans a little bit. And it's not that this move doesn't help, but it also doesn't feel like an NOA move. It feels like a move across the entire world because that's what it is. I don't feel like NOA had anything to do with this.
Right, and the NOA one is so interesting because it does announce the price drop, but it doesn't really equate it to, like, you know, system sales not
being
where they
wanted
to be. And then it even gives, like, the total number of people who bought the 3DS in there, and it's like, you know, it just says something like 800,000 people are playing the 3DS now, and now more people can. And it's just like, well, man, when I saw that number, I was just like, wow, is that it? It's only 800,000? Like, it was shocking, and they just tried to, like, bury it in this, like, happy, like, we're kicking ass, and now we're going to kick more ass email.
It's
interesting.
I thought of Nintendo for quite some time as a company that doesn't go out of their way to give the fans what the fans are asking for. They put out what they think the fans want, and if at all they respond to the fan feedback, it's quietly. You know, maybe, you know, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess is sort of a classic example of that. They put out Wind Waker. The reaction was clearly immediately negative on the art style, even though everyone has almost universally come around on that. And so we got Twilight Princess. They never came out and said, okay, here's the game you wanted. It's just something that they did. I'm not used to seeing them react so vocally to the world that they're in. Nintendo sort of always seems to exist outside of the gaming industry. I don't feel like they are a reactionary company. I don't really feel like they notice anybody else. They're in their own bubble. And this is a very non-bubble move for them. It's very much a reaction to the 3DS, the reception so far. They're not turning a blind eye to this problem. They're trying to solve it, and that's interesting to me. I don't know that I've seen a marketing strategy by Nintendo that's been so aggressive and bold in the entire time that I've been following this company. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but this is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
no, it definitely is. I mean, particularly the ambassador program. I mean, a price drop was going to happen at some point, but the fact that they're doing this ambassador program, and I mentioned it before we started actually recording, but I'll repeat it again for the listeners here, but it seems like it's sort of like a two-pronged attack, where on one hand, I think a lot of people will buy the 250 model now, wanting the exclusive free games that are going to come out, you know, in September or later this year. So I think you'll see system sales grow now, and then, of course, when the price drop happens, I think throughout the rest of the year, the numbers will only, you know, continue to grow.
I wonder after the initial spike, if they'll fall again, or if they'll stay high throughout the entire year. You know,
it'll be interesting to see. It'll certainly help, and I feel like once you get that Christmas season, kids get it, they can take it to school, or friends come over, and, you know, their friends see what the 3D's like, and really get a handle on it. I think it will just continue to grow from there.
For sure, for sure.
But it is interesting, though. So, like, the ambassador program, on one hand, it's like this nice thing, like, oh, Nintendo's giving, you know, the early adopters free games, but on the other hand, it's like, this is sort of their attempt to really try to get people to pay the full $250 before it changes, you know, to try to get as much of that $250 as they can before they start selling the system at a loss.
It's not a bad move.
No, yeah.
Really not.
It's kind of ingenious.
you know that they, you know, they very carefully built like a 2-week window into this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, this wasn't announced and then the price drop started this weekend. I mean, they did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Actually, you know, going back to even the wording of the, you know, the press releases and stuff like that, you know, especially the difference between Japan, Europe, and America in particular, you know, typically Japanese, whenever they make some kind of, like, a formal announcement like this, a really formal Japanese, it's kind of like, I guess we would probably view it as being kind of, like, apologetic and kind of like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, the reason for that. But what's kind of odd, and I think, I don't remember, somebody pointed out in the staff emails that, like, the European press release is just almost a direct translation of the Japanese one.
Yeah,
it's kind of, like, odd thing to do, I would think, but, you know.
Right, to not take, like, cultural difference into account and, like, change the wording or tone at all, like the American one did. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, actually, one other thing, too. Here in Japan, Super Pokemon Scramble, Pokemon Rumble Blast is what's going to be in the United States. It was scheduled to come out, actually, the 28th, today. Technically, here in Japan, it's the 29th now, but, you know, it was going to come out, but they pushed it back, and they just, you know, they just made this announcement a couple of days ago, and they pushed it back to the 11th, which in Japan, that's the day that the 3DS is actually going to be going down in price, so kind of like...
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's kind of makes sense now. So.
Yeah, wow, that's
absolutely
funny. Yeah, that was a definite plan there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wondered, I heard, I think it was either in the staff emails or maybe in comments on the story, but someone else thought that maybe that last system update has somehow related to this, like maybe put into place being able to download those NES games or something. I'm not sure how much I believe that, but it is interesting because no one really knows what that system update really did, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
They could have put the framework in there. Who knows?
Maybe they're already there waiting for us.
Yeah, they'll just unlock it. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on the show. Such short notice. Stay tuned this Saturday for a regular episode of Newscast where we seem to have forgotten that this happened because it was recorded on Tuesday before any of it did happen. Feel free to leave some comments, talk to us, send us an email, tell us what your thoughts are on this crazy price drop. If you haven't bought a 3DS, are you going to buy a 3DS? Are you going to try to buy it before the price drops so you can get the free stuff? Or is the $170 price point the one that's going to finally drive you to the store to buy a system?
Yeah, I want to hear that. Yeah, definitely leave comments, especially if you are going to buy the 250 model now to get the free games. I feel like people are going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A few might, yeah.
I do too. I think so.
The address is, of course, newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. And thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks.